All right, it's the Power Hour here, the final hour of the final Monday edition of the G-Bag Nation. Great to have you in. We got Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, myself, Eric Chiafalo. We got Fan After Dark coming up a little bit later on this evening, and the Cowboys Hour with Brad Sham alongside the longtime special teamer, CJ Goodwin, tonight. That starts at 7 o'clock, and then it'll be Fan After Dark. Until then, we G-Bag it up. Two guys, one booth here in just a few minutes. I saw some takeaways from the Mike Zimmer presser today. Brought us this, the final Zimmer presser of the season. And a couple of things I saw from Nick Harris here. Apparently, Zimmer walked off the podium holding back tears, explaining why his son Adam, who passed away in 2022, was a big reason why he came back this season.
Sure.
I don't even think I was aware about Mike Zimmer having a son who passed away.
He lost his son, yeah. He's had some tragedy in his life. He lost his wife and his son.
Man.
Separate
instances.
Yeah.
Wow, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah,
I really didn't know that. I guess
son was a coach.
That was part of the reason why Zimmer wanted to come back this year.
Yeah.
He said he had no feelings really around his contract status. Of course, him and the rest of the coaching staff, McCarthy included, they're in the final week of their deals. So we'll see what happens with everyone. But he said someone has to want you in order for him to return in 2025. He's like, somebody's got to want me. If McCarthy's back, I think the Cowboys definitely want Zimmer.
Sure.
And then he also said that he wished he had done things his way earlier in the season and calls it his biggest regret of the year. So whatever
Did
that means.
Did follow up?
Well, Nick Harris went on to say that Zimmer said that he didn't want to mess too much with
what they were
was
doing.
Already a good defense from 2023. And so he said that he let some things slide. And Zimmer said that he wishes he was a little more hard-headed early on. So,
wow.
I mean, that's pretty transparent right there. I would love to get a little bit more details on some of that stuff. But I know early in the year when the defense was struggling big time, you had veteran dudes like Jordan Lewis saying, like, man, we're not buttoned up. It's the little things. It's the details. And so we know Zimmer is definitely an in-your-face kind of hard-nosed coach, and maybe he was easing everybody in a little bit too much. Things obviously got turned around in a big way. Of course, he was shorthanded all season long with the injuries. Bland never playing to start the season. DeMarcus Lawrence going out early. And then losing Micah Parsons, of course, was really the backbreaker.
Yeah.
Until he came back, it was tough to get things going there. But Zimmer being pretty introspective on his final presser of the season.
Yeah, I would keep, as I said earlier with you, Eric, I would keep an eye on that one. And he's talking about, you know, I think people would want him back. I think the Cowboys would want him back. I wonder if they would want him back as a defensive coordinator. Could he be a coach, a potential head coach, if they make a change? You know, a lot of possibilities here. But I'd heard that Mike was pretty tired. You know, that things were, it was a really tough year for him, having to deal with all the things that he dealt with. And so we'll see. But he's got a legitimate business stable with horses. He's got a horse, I believe, that is soon to qualify for the or soon to potentially qualify for the Kentucky Derby, and that's a pretty serious. If you to have one of those, you have to have a pretty serious entry and involvement in horse racing if you're going to do that.
Some deep pockets.
Yeah. So he is. He's very much thinking about those things ahead. But, you know, Mike and I've known Mike a long, long time. I just know that, you know, he's one of those guys, like I say, he wants to be appreciated and, you know, and he wants to be compensated. And he came in here and he did Jerry and Steven really a favor. Did Mike McCarthy a favor. You know, if Mike McCarthy stays on, you know, and gets an extension, Mike Zimmer had a big, big hand in that by, you know, the offense wasn't great all year. You know, defense has really picked up things. So last 7 or 8 weeks, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure.
And giving them a chance.
Giving them a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some things that we were kind of talking about earlier in Krusty's Corner with the defense and some – some things that might be a little bit nitpicky on Zimmer. Certainly, he's the first to tell you, like, he dropped the ball in some ways here. But overall, he's really done a nice job putting this thing together and making the sum look like a little bit more than some of the parts that he had. Now, elsewhere here, I just saw from Pete Thamel, Clemson quarterback Cade Klubnik has announced that he will be returning in 2025.
How many years is this for him there?
I think this is just like his true senior year.
So he's 4-year guy. He started as a freshman. Man, I feel like he's been there for a long time.
let's see. Yeah, he's 21 years old.
Yeah.
And he's a junior. So he'll just be a true senior. And I don't know if he started right away because they had DJU.
Yeah.
Who was starting, but Klubnik may have started to take some reps there at the end of that season, and then he's really gotten better and better each year, and you saw it firsthand versus Texas in round one of the college football playoff. Like, he's pretty legit. There's some stuff to work with there. He's mobile, and now he'll get one more year in college to develop, and Clemson in the ACC returning quite a bit of dudes, actually getting into the portal now. Clemson should probably be... I know SMU returning some dudes, and they're going to be right there, but Clemson probably will be the favorite, maybe even start the season off as a top five team. So that's big news for Clemson. And, you know, for Texas, they're going to get their receiver, Isaiah Bond. He will be back and ready to play for the playoff game coming up here this week. So that's great news on the Texas side of things. And certainly tomorrow we will do plenty of college football previewing of the matchups, because starting tomorrow night, we're gonna get round two of the college football playoff. Cannot wait for it, man. Cannot wait for it. Okay, I saw that Micah Parsons on his podcast said that Joe Burrow would be his MVP this year. Says he, without a doubt, should be MVP. He looks unstoppable. Certainly needs to be in the mix here. I think this is one of the best MVP races we've had in a while. Because, I mean, even I'm seeing some arguments for Jaden Daniels putting up better numbers than Lamar Jackson did last year, when Lamar was basically the unanimous MVP, getting 49 of the 50 first place votes. And Jaden Daniels, the Commanders rookie, who was awesome last night, especially in that second half, his numbers this year are better than Lamar Jackson's were last year. So now all of a sudden you have another dude who is kind of in the mix and certainly deserving. Now, he will be offensive rookie of the year for sure, but he's having an MVP caliber season, no doubt, taking that Commanders franchise, which was the sewage of the sport for so long, doesn't have a good defense.
Yeah.
And obviously now he's got his team in the playoffs, so that's fair. But he'll be your offensive rookie of the year. Saquon Barkley will be your offensive player of the year, will be my guess. And then we'll see between Lamar, Josh Allen,
how confident are you about your guesses?
I'm very confident.
Are you?
I'm very confident. Jaden Daniels obviously is going to be offensive rookie of the year. I know Brock Bowers has had an awesome year. He's got something to say about it.
Sure does.
But Jaden Daniels, let's be honest,
Team's winning,
and he is.
And the big reason why.
He is a huge reason why.
Yeah.
Especially now that, I mean, to start the season, he came out of the gate super hot because he was running around, got a little bit banged up. They pulled him back a little bit, and that was the perfect time for the Cowboys to match up with him and obviously get the victory. But now the health is there, and they have unleashed him. And last night, he was running all over the place. His speed, I mean, they'll have a fourth and one or fourth and two.
You don't have to tell me about this. He carried a bad LSU team to 10 victories last year. I mean, and the Heisman Trophy, and all. I mean, he deserved that award, the things that he was able to do running the football and throwing the football. He absolutely deserved it the way he played. There are people at Arizona State that were glad to see him go, which is amazing to me. They raided his locker. Remember that? They just started taking all his stuff out of his locker, everything he left.
They couldn't wait to see him go.
Yeah.
That truly is unbelievable.
Herm Edwards.
That was a bad situation.
Yeah.
But he was outstanding last night, and his speed is so much so that literally they'll just go under center on a fourth down.
Yeah.
And instead of quarterback sneaking it, he just takes the ball from under center and just runs
around
to the end. Nobody can stand a chance.
The way he plays is so smooth. It's just very easy and smooth, and he's got a burst, and I mean, he's tough. He takes some wild hits. He took some wild. He got bent back a couple of times last night.
Yeah, he had a couple.
I thought he was going to be in trouble, but he got popped right back up. Good player. Really good player.
940 says, don't sleep on Ja'Marr Chase for Offensive Player of the Year if he gets the Triple Crown. How ticked would you be? What would your level of butt-hurtedness be if Barkley doesn't win the MVP and then also doesn't win Offensive Player of the Year because Ja'Marr Chase won it? Now, he's your LSU guy.
Oh, yeah. I always pull for the LSU guy.
Yeah, but you also always pull for the running back. That would be really disappointing for you, I would imagine.
I would, if, I'm just telling you, the rarest of the rare is this NFL rushing record is about to be broken because idiots like you, mm-hmm. and I apologize to your mom and dad, you're really not an idiot.
No, it's okay.
But idiots like you that just devalue the running back position, you know?
Sounds like you're devaluing the quarterback position.
I'm saying,
it's alarming.
I'm saying you need us. You need our ability to run that ball. You need us there. So, yeah, you know? Idiots like you guys. Oh, we don't need a running game.
We
don't need a running game. Don't need a guy to carry the ball. You know, when we're not throwing the ball very well. Keep it up, bro. You're gonna come back and want running backs one day. Just like, you know, like I
totally.
Just like I told you about Josh Allen.
Everything.
Keep in mind about Josh Allen.
Yeah. And now you're the one saying that he doesn't deserve the MVP. Look at this.
I'm just telling you, man, Josh Allen, he'll get his MVP one day. Probably be the MVP of the Super Bowl this year.
Well, did you see the proposal last night? The Commanders player?
I did not.
Okay, so
I was watching the Conclave last night at late.
The Conclave?
Yeah.
Is that a new show you're on?
Lucius, have you seen The Conclave by any chance?
I got it in the queue. Yeah, okay. I want to watch it so bad.
Okay, I got done with The Jackal, which is amazing, and then The Conclave last night, yeah.
Did you like it?
I did. And okay. And the ending is going to just kind of, you're going to go, what?
Okay.
It's 2 hours. It's a commitment.
Like what? Like the type of reaction is, I'm going to be upset. Like what? Y'all made me sit and watch all of this? Is this what you gave me?
You're going to be surprised.
Okay.
All
right.
Like how they navigate that. I didn't realize what a political deal that was.
Heck yeah, it is.
To elect the Holy Father, it is a process, among those guys. So enjoy.
I'm not even familiar with this show. Yeah. Or it's a movie?
It's a two-hour movie. Yeah.
All right. I'll have to get in the mix on that. I'm looking forward to, like, right now, there's the roast of 2024 that's on Netflix.
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah.
Okay. What'd you think?
It was funny.
I was going to watch it last night, and then all of a sudden, this Commanders game was too good. I'm like, sorry, honey. She was ticked.
Sam Morrell and someone else went up there at the same time, and they smoked it.
Okay. Mark Norman.
Yeah, hilarious.
Is the other guy.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I saw a 60-second clip of them just roasting the Jeff, whatever his name is, the master
the
roaster.
Roastmaster?
Yeah, the Roastmaster. I just saw a 60-second teaser of them crushing him, and they were all just banger joke after banger joke. So that's worth watching. That's a pretty
good. It's good stuff, bro.
It is? Okay.
It's going by fast, too, so you'd be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to watching
that.
It's
not 2.5 hours, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not the Brady roast where you have to carve out an entire weekend. Well, what about, did you watch the Nate Bargatze?
No.
He's got a new special.
Yeah, I've seen it now. I didn't get to check it yet.
Yeah, it's good. It's
I'm
good.
Watching that one.
Yeah, that'll be worth your time. Okay, so we have this Commander player proposal. Jeremy Reeves.
Pulled her out of the stands.
Kind of a no-name player, whatever. But yes, after the clinch. Now, I'm guessing he had two different versions of this proposal.
Did Jefferson have the ring in his pants?
I don't know how they got the ring.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly who was holding the ring.
Equipment guy?
But I can't imagine that this was something that, like, if they lose, there's no way he's making this proposal happen, right? Like, this hinges on them clinching the playoffs and winning the game. And I guess there was a plan B for him. Maybe for next week at AT&T Stadium or just a completely different version of the proposal. She says yes, and everything is fantastic right up until only Kia with a bunch of A's on Twitter sees the proposal and says, I know this isn't the same man who was in my DMs trying to fly me out to do that one thing.
Hey, crap.
Now, she didn't timestamp when he did that, but I'm assuming this dude has been dating his now fiance for a healthy length of time.
Kia.
And now Kia, at only Kia with like nine A's in it, is now calling him out.
She can't let that man be happy.
She can't.
She can't let that man be happy. He's moved on.
Why is she worried about this? Yeah. Now she's starting all sorts of... This is supposed to be a great moment. Yeah. You know, he's in the playoffs. He's engaged. Bygones be bygones. Kia won't let this thing go. So now I don't know what type of problems he's got on his hands. I can only imagine the type of fires he's been having to put out for the last 12 hours. Supposed to be
timelines. Oh, a whole lot of timelines right here.
The screenshots that are being texted to his fiance right now. This is, it's a toxic Tuesday on a Monday is what it is. So
God, a lot of disuse. God, is this you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling for this dude right now. I really am. We'll see how it shakes out for him.
He should have made it a public spectacle if he had some skeletons in his closet type of situation.
Tell you what, that's a fair rebuttal.
Can't make it because she's going to be watching it upset, wishing that was her.
Yeah, you can't be sloppy. You got to be more buttoned up than that, Jeremy Reeves. But you'd hate to think this is just all a big ball sacking and this girl's going for clout and all of a sudden Mr. Reeves maybe just completely minding his own business, staying as far away from DMs as possible, trying to appreciate his new fiance, and maybe she's ball sacking. I don't know.
I never met that girl in my life, baby. I swear to God.
I swear, I have no idea. I have no idea. But I do know that this is probably problematic for him right now. I did see a sports love story, though, that was heartwarming. And this comes from Roland AU on Twitter. And she tweeted this out 2 days before Christmas. It's a photo of her and I guess her husband. And she says on October 15th, 2017, she's tagging, by the way, Justin Turner, Dodgers baseball player.
Okay.
And she says on October 15th of 2017, I watched your walk off in the NLCS game 2 in my dorm at Lafayette College. I was going so crazy that my own downstairs neighbor thought I was being attacked and ran up. We started talking, and 7 years later, we're engaged. And it all started with your walk-off, and she tagged Justin Turner, and he retweeted it and said congratulations and all that kind of stuff. But now that's a lovely sports romantic story right there.
Uh-huh.
How cool is that, dude? This dude was ready to come save the day, vigilante styles, everything all right. He's probably watching the game, too. He's probably enjoying himself. But all of a sudden, he's coming upstairs to check, and now, boom, all these years later, we have ourselves a marriage. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. All right, and speaking of baseball, we had Jock Peterson on the program earlier today, one of your newest Texas Rangers. He is fantastic. The personality is wonderful, and we cannot wait to get out to Surprise and meet him in person. But if you missed it, you can hop on the Odyssey app. We had him on at about 4:45. All right, two guys, one booth on a Cowboy Monday, a back-to-reality disaster in Filthy. We'll relive it. Two guys, one booth next right here on The Fan. Let's go two guys, one booth, ladies and gentlemen, on a Back to Reality Cowboys Monday. We welcome in the fellas from Fan After Dark. It's Fred Davis. It's Blake Elliott, live in the flesh, ready to take you from 8 to 11 tonight because we've got the Cowboys Hour. Brad Sham and CJ Goodwin are going to be partying it up there from 7 to 8, and then we'll get Fan After Dark. Did we come to any conclusions with the name of our listeners? Are we going with the Farkers?
No, we're still fatties? Narrowing it down. Fatties and Fanpires are kind of in the lead. Farkers, as much as I love it, and it'll always be near and dear to my heart.
Same here.
I just feel like the chance of somebody saying it the wrong way is just too great.
Chances are high.
Very high.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know,
with the phenom,
Mr. Facebook Marketplace over here. So
yeah, Blake comes storming in very proud into the studio.
I mean,
I brought you guys Christmas gifts. And I was like, oh, dude, selfie that was pole. Like super nice of you. I start feeling like crap. I guess I should have, you know, I should have had something prepared. And he's like, well, don't worry. I didn't go to the store.
I'm sure you've got some stuff in your garage.
Yeah, exactly. Now that I know with what he did, Blake's like, yeah, I was cleaning my plates out today, just getting rid of some crap. And figured, you know, some of this stuff might be of use to the guys at the station. So we're getting Blake's hand-me-downs. He's got a table full of junk he no longer wants. And by way of a Christmas gift, it's here for us.
Just a season of giving.
How lucky are we? Blake, early in the running for Teammate of the Week right here. That's going to be tough to unseat.
Hot sauce, knives, soap dispensers.
What did Broadus seem to like the most?
I think he was leaning towards the hot sauce.
I saw some of them missing.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that a hot sauce collection? It looks like it's framed. Is it framed?
It's like,
is that decor or is that for use?
Hey, it's a Big Lots purchase.
Hey, let's give Broadus the ones that are really hot we don't like.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Big Lots sells it like that, where it's a bunch of different hot sauces. There's probably over 50 sauces
in there.
Hey,
I appreciate the thought, though.
Yeah, you know, I walked in and saw the team.
He's had those hot sauces for 10 years, dude.
I'd say a couple months.
Those things are fermented by now.
How long does hot sauce stay good for?
Well, that's the difference between,
vinegar stuff.
Do you want to be someone that has the sauce or has the juice? Yeah. If you have the juice, that's going to be a little bit more short-lived.
How did you?
That's going to expire. The sauce lives in your fridge forever. If you got the sauce, you're really doing something.
Okay.
How did you lose out on the knife collection?
Okay, so my shoddy, she moved in last night officially.
Go ahead, just correct. And let everybody, for the folks that don't think you're carrying around a 12-gauge shotgun since...
My lady, she was... we made it official last night as far as her moving in. So all of her stuff is now there.
Godspeed, homie.
So she had her own apartment. So she had her own knife set, her own kitchen.
So her gear was much better than your gear.
Way better. So she wanted to keep my knife set. I said, your knife
set
is... Let
the record show.
Her knife set is
your knife
nicer.
Set shows up in plastic.
Yes, I like
she
hers.
She had the butcher block wood official like chef set.
I had to wait a second. I was like, am I looking at the right knife set? No, we're going to keep yours. And I was just going to give it to Goodwill, but I said, guys at the station.
Somebody at the station will want it.
Someone's missing a knife set. I think it's a decent knife set. I wouldn't say it's like $300, but you know.
It's clearly not.
Did she make you get rid of all your plates and glasses and stuff?
She didn't make me. We kept all mine. No, we kept all my plates and added. They're the same color scheme, black and white.
Is there anything that you just disagreed with her on that you said, no, this is not going?
Yeah, did you put your foot down at all, or did you just let her just run amok in your plate?
She's so nice when she comes and visits us. He's not saying anything.
When it comes to the kitchen, I let her have free reign. You know, I want her to feel comfortable.
For sure. That's her domain. That's the one place you shouldn't have any say. Other than when she's specifically in there.
I wasn't really having any push, but sure, whatever works.
Can she cook?
Oh, yeah. She's throwing down, I believe right now, some pulled pork sliders. Mm. So jeez. With some little grilled onions on there. That's a personal favorite of Blake's. We did find the pulled pork, Fred.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
So you did find it.
Did you cook it yourself, or did you guys...
I don't know. She pulled out
the crock pot. And
that's what I'm saying.
I'm not there, so I don't know how she's throwing down.
She's the one that pulls the pork, not Blake.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not get that confused.
Yeah.
I know he's wearing his lovely pink shorts that
You said he borrowed them from her.
They share the closet now. Things get mismatched.
Chief walked in and goes, man, it smells like a lady in here. It
smells like a female locker room in here.
And he looks down at Blake's shorts and goes, oh, he's wearing his cow shorts.
You know, we were in close proximity not too long ago. I just dropped the U-Haul truck off, so that was fun.
Did you guys do the moving all yourselves?
Oh, it was just us two, yeah.
Hey, listen.
Hey, that's bonding right there.
Did you have to use the tollway?
No.
You didn't? Mm-mm. Okay, good for you. Because if not, you're going to be paid. You're going to be paying out the nose for that. No. You'll need a fifth job to
I made sure we went during the daytime yesterday. Beautiful day in Austin. Yeah. Beautiful day here in Dallas. So,
Fred, can you confirm to us that Blake didn't do the thing where he asked you to come help him for like a box of Little Caesars pizza?
No. I helped him with his mom's
That was a trip.
The long play.
Yeah.
We did that. What was that Friday night after the show?
The next day I was on the road.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man.
Saturday night, yeah.
Hey, the definition of a true friend will never ask another one to move or help him move.
I mean, this was lightweight. Plus, look.
We weren't moving from place to place. I said, meet me at the storage unit and help me unload.
It's it. It was in Louisville. We found apparently the hottest spot in Louisville. Shout out to Lounge 1738. Wedged between a
donut shop
and a Life Storage, for crying out loud. But
did you get up on stage and tell stories?
We moved.
I could see you getting up on stage after a couple of cocktails and telling people stories.
That was a long time ago. Now, look, we got the stuff moved out. It was a 19 foot, I think. No, I'm sorry, 14 foot U-Haul. Got it moved in, out, boom, done, out.
That's a great teammate.
20 minutes.
That's it.
Did Blake, was he helpful? I just
oh yeah, no, no. Because here's the thing: it was light stuff.
Okay,
yeah. Like it was just knick-knack BS.
It was a lot.
Yeah, is what it was.
Did you have to set it down quite a bit because Blake was kind of not being?
We were doing more of an assembly line.
Hey, it was nonstop. And look, it was one of them deals where, like I said, I live in Louisville. We got there. Boom. Yeah. Let's go. Let's get this done. And okay. We were all three on the same page.
Old man, were you sore the next day?
Absolutely not.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Because it wasn't heavy. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Sometimes you look at furniture and you're like, I can't move
this. There
was
no furniture.
I can't move this.
It was one chair.
I can't move this dresser. Even if you take all the drawers out of it, I can't move it.
See, I'm not at that age yet.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Wait till you get.
I'm not at that age yet.
Wait.
It's lurking around the corner.
I know.
Yeah. But I'm gonna give myself an applaud, though. Two moves in 2 days is quite the feat.
Yeah. So. You're running up the numbers, man.
Meeting family members.
That third one could creep up on you and surprise you at any moment.
Blake, did you remember to put in for tickets for this game this week?
What do you mean?
So you can win them.
He's sleeping. Standing room only. He's sleeping.
It's a huge matchup, Blake. What are you doing?
My man wins tickets every week to a Cowboy.
Finish the fight, Blake.
I do got to go week 18. I'm going to do it just to raffle it again.
I threw my name in there just to see if the thing's not rigged.
Blake wins every week.
And that's what I'm saying. Because if he doesn't
win,
it's like
they feel sorry for him.
See, that's what I'm telling you. So if I don't win this week, I'm going to be upset.
Did I already miss it? Did it already happen?
I think you can do it tonight.
I think you got just throw it in there.
One more chance.
You get it.
So when I win, I'll raffle it off to the rest of the guys.
If you win again, I'm going
to
say something.
Then your mom can come up to us.
Then you'll have more hand-me-downs to give the guys at the stage.
Then your mom will come up to us and tell us what a terrible son you are for not getting her tickets where she can sit down.
I'm dead.
All right. Hey, I need you to be resuscitated because right now it's time to crank open a week 17 edition of Two Guys, One Booth.
Crank it.
Sounds good, fellas. Let's start with Brad Sham. Is he channeling his inner Grinch here? Let's find out together.
When Hurts is in the game, they don't have first and 10. They have first and 8.
I saw that too, and I was like, I'm going to steal that. But
yeah,
you just
I just did.
Oh, there you go, wow, man.
That makes sense. He's right.
It's all about, right, Broadus, when you're doing those broadcasts, you're just trying to find all sorts of nuggets just to save you in a pinch when it's on you to just say something.
Yeah, like you mess up guys' names on purpose and stuff like that just to kind of like, you know, get
just
the boost.
Just
to liven it up a little bit.
Keep everybody on the edge of their seat.
There you go.
All right, here's some Brad Sham. Potentially the frustration started early in this one.
That's the end of the first quarter. They're going to move down to the other end of the field. Darn it.
It's even closer to my eyes.
What's the view like from that? From, do you know the booth view for Brad at Lincoln Financial Field?
Not great. No, not great. These stadiums have figured out now, these owners and stuff, that the old press box views and stuff like that in the middle, those are prime seats for people that are going to pay, not for freeloaders like us, you know?
Hey, I'll freeload in the corner any day of the week.
I don't think, alongside Fred and Blake. The Cowboy press spot for us isn't bad.
I love it.
I think it's a great spot.
But Brad's view from AT&T Stadium, for instance, is more catty corner and a little bit. They should prioritize the booth a little bit
better. TV people got it great.
Yeah.
Brad and Babe, there at the 50.
Yeah, things that if it's coming down towards them, they're fine.
Yeah,
Going away is a mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear potential boo birds. I mean, we are in Philadelphia. Anything can happen.
We have a little delay here. The ball was marked.
Due to the spot of the foul, the hash mark should be the left hash mark. It's first down.
Yeah, and they moved the ball from the right hash to the left hash. I love what the crowd is booing the spot.
They're booing the hash mark.
The hash mark.
Only in Philadelphia. They booed the hash mark.
Deserve to be booed, Brad.
Hey,
boo,
man.
The hash mark.
They stay true to themselves.
They do.
And that's something that can be said for them.
Is Philly the most relentless fans? I know probably in football we can say that, in NFL, but you think in all sports, the Philadelphia Eagles fans, or you think there's another fan base?
When the Raiders were in Oakland,
that was a black hole. That was hard. Yeah, guys with
Kansas City
spiked shoulder pads
Kansas
on.
Kansas City could be hard, too. Just how loud they are.
Just because how loud it gets?
Yeah.
I think the funniest, though, in terms of...
I'm thinking like unruly, though. Not like good for the team. Like unruly, throwing stuff, booing.
Philly.
Yeah, and I don't want to underestimate the Jet fan and the Giants fan. They get pretty nasty as well.
Giant fans are smarter than Jet fans.
Mm.
Football smarter.
Mm.
More. I think they're more intelligent. Fan base.
They can both be pretty rabid.
But I think it's Cleveland soccer Browns. Fans. The soccer fans, if you're going all sports, yeah. soccer Denver. Fans, of course. I mean, just Damn. College football fans in general. I mean, they're the ones that's actually throwing stuff these yeah, days,
they are.
Right?
Yeah, they are. Drunk, but the underage.
Eagles are right up there, man. Yep. Okay, we have a little tush push. Okay.
Knowing Nick Sirianni, this is probably a two-possession situation. Third and five at the Dallas 35 with a seven-point lead for the Eagles. Late in the second quarter. Pickett in the gun. Hand off Barkley. Found a hole on the left side. Blasted down at the 30. Inches short of the first down. And guess what?
Again, this would be tush push time for Jalen Hurts. Let's see what they do with Kenny Pickett.
They're leaving him out there. See if they can push his tush. They're lining up for it. Crowd loves it, and they pushed everything. And boy, it's barely got the first down. And they did down at the Dallas 28.
All right.
Well, you know, funny about that tush push, Brad, because everybody loves it. They think.
Can you push his tush?
That was, you know, that was, yeah. Can I guess all tushes are pushable.
Are pushable.
And
but
they
more
were
pushable than others.
They were able to see some success with that. I think Kevin Walker was probably dropping the ball in the edit on that
I'm
one.
I'm kind of
you know?
Upset.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. It wasn't as tight as it needed to be on that tush push.
No.
All right, let's go ahead and tee up the next one. We got a
as you go home 3 hours after the pregame starts.
Somebody's dropping a buddy on us here.
Fell over the quarterback Pickett at the end of this thing.
He's holding his back and his hip. I know how you feel, buddy.
That's good. That's good, Brad Jam. Still got the fastball working. Week 17, and he's not quitting either. McCarthy's got this culture thing going, and even Brad Sham, Babe Loffenberg following suit. Yeah. All right, here's Brad and Babe. A.J. Brown, he does the thing where he just kind of has out-of-body experience. He's fired up. He's got the touchdown, and he's throwing away what is a special ball.
That was Tanner McKee's first lifetime touchdown pass. The guy who caught it, A.J. Brown, has 7,000, and he threw the ball in the stands. And then spent the next 5 or 6 minutes trying to find the guy who caught it and get him to bring it back so they could give it to McKee, and he did.
That's great. And Dom, you know, Dom got the ball.
Big Dom got the ball.
Big Dom is there. He just signaled to the bench, all clear. I handled it.
Incidental misspeak there by Babe. I think it's pronounced Big Dumb, but who's to say?
What do we think they're going to give the guy that got the ball initially?
He got a jersey.
A Tanner McKee jersey.
Oh, is that
jersey?
What it was?
He got a signed jersey.
I'd want a Tanner McKee jersey.
No, you want the AJ.
I was going to say.
There you go. I mean, Tanner's jersey.
AJ Brown took the jersey off that he was wearing in the game and
gave it to him.
Green Sharpie signed it and gave it to him.
Way more valuable
and
than
And just
Tanner
the moment,
touch.
The experience. Yeah. He's going all over the sports centers and whatnot. Yeah. That was actually a pretty cool. Kind of a cool deal there.
Guy was like,
Brown.
I got your back, you know. And AJ Brown's like, no, I want the ball. And he's like, I got your back. And he's like, don't worry about it. Yeah.
Like, no, give me that football. Yeah. All right, finally, here's Brad Sham closing us down.
Three flags away from a theme park.
Okay, just a quick bar there.
That's good.
I'm telling you, man, he is rocking and rolling. Brad Sham, thank you. That'll do it. The second to last Two Guys, One Booth of the season.
Wow. Dang.
And we'll crosstalk with Fan After Dark next year in the nation. Crosstalk with the Fan After Dark here in the G-Bag Nation segment brought to you by Ciroc Vodka and Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Also brought to you by Frankel & Frankel. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Fellas, who would be your NFL MVP? You get a vote.
Pat Mahomes.
Okay, biases aside, I actually don't mind that vote. That's not the worst vote. There is a vote that is inexplicable, but that's not.
We're not counting wins. Wins don't count for anything.
No, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that.
I mean, I'm just gonna throw out and look. Part of me saying this because you know when you've been a Chiefs fan for as long as I have and had to go through the Tyler Thigpens and the. Brody Croyles of the world and the Brock Huards and all
Damon
that.
Heward.
You know what I'm saying? Brock, Damon, whatever, whichever crappy Huard it was.
Dude, you had a long run.
I mean, it was a really long time. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We asked this on Saturday. You know, I mean, how many of you bandwagon Patriot fans are still out there?
Yeah, it's a great
you know,
question.
Now that the party's over.
Yeah.
You know, like for all you New Englanders out there, like I understand You guys are miserable anyway, so I get it. This is your time. But for all you bandwagon turds, where are you at? We didn't have one person text in. So anyway.
They don't exist anymore.
They don't. They're off the bandwagon. No, they're all on the
Chiefs
bandwagon.
They're actually with you guys.
No, they're on the Chiefs bandwagon, mucking up Chiefs Twitter is what they're doing.
You had to endure a season where you didn't once see your quarterback throw a touchdown to a wide receiver.
Yeah. No, I mean, let's call it what it is. You lost your
That was the Alex Smith year.
That's right. I forgot all. That, and then you had the year where, you know, homeboy killed himself in the parking lot.
That was tough. Well, how about what about the epic collapse versus the Colts? Indianapolis Colts in the playoffs?
I mean,
that was tough.
Let's throw out the year that against the Patriots, I mean, not the Patriots, the Colts, where our offense, I think the final score was 38-35, no punts. I think it was 0-4, 0-5. It was Trent Green versus Peyton Manning when that Colts dynasty was dynasty, whatever you want to call it. When the Patriots were, Jesus, the Colts were really starting to get rolling. Mm-hmm. And again, there were no punts that game. Boom. Colts win the game, yada, yada. So, yeah. So give me the quarterback who has had four different left tackles, lost his two wide receivers, and lost his starting running back. I mean, name me any other quarterback that can go through that. No, by the way, still win 15 games.
There isn't one that can do that.
There's no doubt
in my mind who the best player in the sport is, and I would have no issue if Pat Mahomes was the MVP. It seems like it's Lamar, Josh Allen, Burrow now in the conversation.
You know what? I'm gonna still be an outlier. Give me Sam Darnold. All right, when you put his numbers up against Lamar's, Josh, Mahomes, anybody, and tell me, by the way, who expected the Vikings to do this? Nobody.
Nobody did.
Nobody.
And we were counting them out.
Had some dude text us last week. I remember when you guys picked the Giants to beat the Vikings in week one. This was last week. Somebody texted this into us. So give me Mahomes 1A, Darnold 1B.
Well, Darnold is definitely having an awesome year. I don't know. Could he be up for if they had like surprise of the year? But ultimately, you're 13th in QBR.
Comeback player of the year. Did he do something like that?
But did they change? Was it the NFL or the NBA that changed?
It's the NFL. You have to have been injured. You can't just suck.
You can't be a suck guy. Okay.
Yeah. You can't just be Ryan Tannehill and you used to play for the Dolphins and now you don't. So
who's going
to
be comeback player of the year then this year? Like who got hurt last year and now is somewhat
Burrow.
Good? Really? So we're going to let him and his limp wrist be the reason why this year he's comeback player of the year?
How much did he miss last year? He missed a chunk.
He missed a good five or six weeks.
Yeah, he missed a chunk. Yeah.
Well, if it was only 5 or 6 weeks, then that might not be enough to...
You know, by the way, it was on a throw. Come on, really?
Wasn't Breece Hall hurt last year?
Yeah, but he's been kind of...
How about our...
He ain't been coming back like that.
No.
Our Rams wide receiver, not pooping to Cooper.
Cooper Kupp. I mean, are we counting the last 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah. He's sold. I mean, the fantasy championship.
Dude. Has he been bad?
He's not been good. He's not been good.
I think he scored like 7 points total in fantasy in the last 3 weeks.
Okay, yeah. So Joe Burrow is the favorite to win comeback player.
Who else they got on that list?
Sam Darnold is second. So there we are.
And then
J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah.
That's a perpetually injured guy. That's J.K. Rowling's.
Oh. I bet to say the author had a pretty good year.
Every year's a good year for her, though. Seriously.
Then it's, of course, still DeMar Hamlin. He's in the top four.
Can they just name the award after him? I feel like that would be...
The Joe Burrow Award?
No, the DeMar Hamlin Award. Oh. And then we just stop putting him in the top five. Well, he's still the Bills starting safety, yeah?
No, he got hurt for a little bit. I don't know if he starts,
but he has to play for him, and that's part of the reason why their defense has kind of struggled a little bit this year.
No, I was asking if he's still the starter.
I'm just thinking, the guy really deserved the award?
Well, no, that was the conversation, last year when he won it? It was like a guy who really played well and then a guy who had a crazy injury that just came back and is playing. What's the difference in it?
I thought you were going to say came back to life.
No, well, that too. That's Fred.
That too. I would definitely
You should hear
that.
Him talk about Tua.
Tua?
That's bad.
What about him?
Quarterback?
What have I said about him?
No, not bad, but like how you describe him. It's very, very non-PG.
I don't know. I don't remember what I said.
It's okay.
I don't remember what I said.
Aaron Rodgers is being texted
you guys are gonna get fired.
For comeback player of the
year.
Never.
No.
I'm Mike Bassett.
We know how to push that line. What now? What about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, multiple people have texted in that Aaron Rodgers is the comeback player of the year.
Are we just trolling at this point?
He just had one of the worst performances
I think that's excellent.
Ever.
Brilliant.
That's almost as bad as giving Saquon Barkley the MVP. Am I right, boys?
Yeah. Or Derrick Henry. I'm here for it.
I can't believe that.
I'm here for it.
Basically, everybody on the pregame show yesterday wanted Barkley.
He goes, hey, Broadus, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to create a poll and ask people who I think the MVP will be, thinking that everybody was not going to pick a running back. All the crusties we interviewed. I knew Merrill Reese in Philly was going to pick a running back.
Actually, Brad Sham picked your guy Mahomes.
Yeah.
So your guy got a vote.
But it was a landslide. It was a landslide. It was disappointing. Eric didn't even want to announce the results at the end.
That it was Saquon?
Yeah.
He's like,
well, that's the post game or the pregame show. Thanks for joining us. had a poll, but not going to tell anybody. Hey, game with Brad, Babe, Christy, next on The Fan.
Nobody picked Donovan Wilson?
That's a bit cartoonish, but I'll accept it.
That's what he did. He didn't want to. He went the whole, hey, let me ask you, who do you think's the MVP? And, oh, yeah, Barkley by far.
Eight out of ten.
Okay, idiot. Yeah.
He's idiot broadcaster, man.
Okay.
I was a bit bashful to show the audience the lack of football acumen that they were just soaking in on the pregame show.
Okay, Pam Oliver, I know you've only been working in football 30 years, but hey, that was a terrible opinion.
Go ahead and go
with
that.
Did Pam go with Saquon too?
Heck yeah, she did because she knows football.
She was in.
Recency bias.
Saquon was like 10 feet from her when she was making her selection.
No, Christy Scales was 10 feet from her.
But you know what? I don't. Something about Pam Oliver, nothing about her strikes me that she panders to anybody. Okay, when you've been doing this as long as she has.
No, she's shooting from the hip. She's nailing it.
Pam ain't half-stepping.
It was a lot of Saquon love there. But Blake, who's your MVP?
I like Lamar from what he's done for the team, and I counted the Ravens out this year. Believe he's leading in passer rating. What, under 5 interceptions, almost 40-plus touchdowns. So I think he really is carrying that team on what they have because not a lot of great talent outside
what,
of
bro?
Let me finish. Outside of
Four
Zay.
4 hours of this.
Outside of Zay Flowers.
Let's talk Mark basketball.
Andrews, Mark Andrews has been terrible. Isaiah Likely had 2 good weeks.
You're likely wrong here.
Rashad Bateman has been their wide receiver, too, when they try to bring in Deontay Johnson. So he also, not as much as Mahomes, so I don't need that, has overcome a lot, and I think it is between him and Josh.
He's overcome what second best running back in the NFL, third or fourth best tight end, and a top 5 wide receiver.
Zay Flowers.
Well, I'll tell you what, like they won 10 games this year.
Zay Flowers is top 5.
God, amazing,
a top 5 wide receiver.
Yes,
statistically.
He is not even statistically.
Top six or seven.
You think Zay Flowers?
Top 6 or 7, I guarantee it.
I don't know if I can do the show.
Statistically?
We got time. We'll check it. Let's check it.
I'm looking at it right now.
I don't care if he's number 1 in yards. He is not a top 5 receiver.
Okay.
Are we hearing this?
I did hear that.
Like, I love Zay.
I'm still reeling.
I'm a Zay guy, but he is nowhere close to the top 5 receiver in the league. I don't care if you read off he's number 1 in yards, touchdowns, yak.
73 catches, 1,000 yards.
Wow, top 5 right there. Who can do that?
Top 5 or 7? Absolutely. I'll stick by that.
Okay, now it's 5 or 7.
I mean,
he's
doubling down. He's doubling down on it.
But you act like this. Okay,
don't do this to you, Fred.
Is he not a top 10 wide receiver yesterday?
No, he's not that either. It's not hating on Zay.
He's not a top 10 receiver.
He's just
going to
win the award and fail in the playoffs. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, top 10-ish. Here's the thing. Zay Flowers, look, he's done a lot worse.
Zay Flowers is good.
Is he not the best wide receiver
he's
had?
That's my terrible take.
I think Odell Beckham.
What?
I just did that to make you mad.
Yes, dude.
Okay, but why do people do this when we're given awards? It's like, well, what did the team do in the offseason? So therefore, this is why they should win the award. Because the GM didn't get them a competent running back, they should win the award because they are overcoming all this. So it's really just a GM or lack thereof award based on what was done in the offseason. You're like, well, they have Derrick Henry, so Lamar can't win the award because they got Derrick Henry this offseason.
Lamar winning the award, but let's not act like he's playing with a bunch of scrubs.
I didn't say he's playing with scrubs.
I said outside of Zay, he's playing with scrubs.
You literally did.
That was your whole point.
I said outside of Zay Flowers. That's all I said.
Derrick Henry and Mark.
Mark Andrews has been paralegal this year.
And Jonathan Ogden and Marshall Yanda.
Their offensive line has gotten better, but there was a lot of sketch. They lost 3 offensive linemen this offseason. No one knew their offensive line would be this good or as good as it's been, I'll say.
Plus, their old line coach did die like right before the season.
They had a lot of turmoil and turnover in the offseason.
Well, this is...
tune in, 8 to 11, Lamar Jackson.
That's the pregame show.
That's right.
Thanks to Pam Oliver coming on with her bad opinion. That's right. I'm Eric Chiafalo. We'll see you.